Almost live from one of the most diverse cities in America, it's the Nate Darling Show. Featuring Ted Sampson and Christiana D. And now, with one coffee table and three microphones, here's Nate.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of the Nate Darling Show. Ted is with me this week, as always. Christiana was fired for disagreeing with me and has been replaced summarily.
About time.
I'm kidding.
Oh.
She went on vacation with the fam.
Aw.
So sitting in is Becca Costello. Hello, Becca.
Hello. It is I, vegan girlfriend.
What a reveal.
I know, right? I think careful listeners already knew that to be the case, but
I don't think most of our listeners are that careful.
Yeah, so we get to talk about brown rice and factory farming all night, right?
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I hate talking about factory farming.
We can squeeze that in if you like.
Kosher factory farming.
You know what? We will talk about a bonus for making weight. That's a new contract for a Major League Baseball player. Someone Ted probably won't like when he hears more about him.
Oh, I heard.
We're going to talk about women in combat. Of course, Ted Nugent opened his mouth again this week. We'll talk about that. And fun other things. So, first of all, let's start out with the Super Bowl. Super Bowl coming up this weekend.
Niners.
Ted, you got the Niners?
I do. Born and raised San Francisco. I can't say I'm a super football fan, but I do tune in when the hometown teams are in the big games. So, Niners, yeah.
Becca, who you got?
Oh, it has to be the Niners. I don't actually watch football, but everyone in my family is a diehard 49ers fan. So I need the Niners to win so my family will be happy.
There you go. I'm going to pick the Niners as well because I want to see Ray Lewis cry because he lost. Because I'm tired of seeing him cry when he wins.
Oh.
If you've been paying attention, Ray Lewis at the end of every game goes to the middle of the field. Someone goes over to interview him because he's retiring at the end of the year. He yells stuff about how Jesus is the most awesome guy ever, and then he starts to cry like a little bitch, and I'm tired of it.
Wow. So you want to win out of spite more than anything else?
No, I love the Niners. I've been a Niners fan all my life, but I want to see Ray Lewis cry for a reason.
Okay.
Have you really been a Niners fan even in Vermont?
Yeah. Yeah. When I was a little kid, was when Joe Montana sort of came around.
Oh, yeah.
Team of the 80s.
And I actually have, it's in my office at work, I have a cork board, an old Niners cork board with the two-bar helmet logo on it that I got, I think, like 1980. So it would be 33 years old now, something
wow.
like that.
It's an artifact.
Yeah, it was one of those things that like my parents would get for me for Christmas, but they had to order it from the Sears Wish Book, which we've talked about on the show before.
Wow, why don't they just go online? Just kidding.
Yeah. Al Gore hadn't invented the internet yet.
Lazy.
That's how it goes.
So lazy.
So you guys went, Christiana's in Disneyland now.
That's right, we scoped it out for her.
And you guys were there last week, and Ted, you touched on it a little bit, so... Becca, what did you think of Disneyland?
Oh, I love Disneyland, especially this time of year, because my favorite part is New Orleans Square, and they have it all done up for Mardi Gras, and they have these like fake mint juleps that I like better than real mint juleps, because I'm kind of I'm a crappy drinker, and they're non-alcoholic, and they taste like candy, and I love them, and so it was really fun. They had like, you know, like kind of Zydeco bands, and Goofy was dressed up all Mardi Gras, and I don't know, I'm a sucker for that stuff.
And the beads were flying, boobs were being bared.
Nice.
Oh no.
Oh wait, no. Winnie the Pooh was being boobed. That doesn't make sense. Never mind. I'm trying to make a bear boobs bear thing, but I lost.
Yeah, you got caught in the middle.
Sadly. But I think one of the more notable things that happened was that Ted got to meet his favorite Disney princess, Belle.
She's so hot.
I saw that picture online. It was a little weird.
The whole experience was incredibly weird.
It was very weird.
Because we're making this long line, and it's all adults with their kids, and then me with Becca saying, come on, you can do it, Ted. You can get your picture taken.
It was like my idea, because we were with, you know, a family that had a kid who wanted to get a picture with Belle. So I was like, you should also get a picture with Belle because she's your favorite princess and it'll be cute. But I didn't really realize, like, no grown men go by themselves to get their picture taken. So
No. She
was a little bit, like, Ted comes up, and she's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. You put your hands here. And she like puts Ted's hands like kind of across his chest. And she's like, and I'll stand next to you. Mm-hmm. And it was totally like, I think it's like Disney protocol so that no dudes can like grope the princesses. They have this like special way of standing.
Yeah. Put your hands where we can see them is really what it is. So that there's absolutely no chance that you're grabbing any Disney ass. That's kind of how it goes.
Plus the fact I was like kind of playing my, I was trying to be like funny and charmingly dorky, but I think I came out looking like a carrot because I seemed like I was mildly, you know, like I had my Weird Al t-shirt on. I don't know. It's just really embarrassing.
And he was just like, hee-hee, you know. And, yeah. And so.
Your majesty. I don't know. It was ridiculous.
So in the future, I probably wouldn't push him to do that. At the moment, it seemed cute.
It seemed like a good idea at the time.
Right.
Are you sure there wasn't any alcohol in those mint juleps?
No.
I'd had five of them. They weren't any alcohol in them, but they were fine.
It wasn't alcohol. It was just like off the charts glucose levels, I think, maybe.
Yeah, we had a lot of sugar. They had the best chocolate chip cookies in the world in California Adventure.
They were so good. I forgot about those. Uh-oh. Those were amazing. Yeah. We got them 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
That is why people go to the theme park, though, for chocolate chip cookies.
They have pickles, too.
Do they?
Yeah.
I've not been to Disney. Well, I've been to the Main Street Disney, not downtown Disney, the Main Street, the free part.
Oh.
Where they have stores.
Many stores.
Yeah. And the ESPN zone is there. And you can sort of go like right up to the park and the monorail comes through there and the hotels are there. But as somebody who, you know, I think Disneyland is for kids and morons. Because I know adults who are super into going all the time. Sorry, Randy. Who aren't going with kids. And I'm always like, really?
Well, we bought annual passes this year. So we might.
Yeah, I insulted everybody.
Probably go with a couple of our mutual friends, Nick and Michaela and Christiana.
I've insulted everybody.
That's okay.
Everybody.
Nate, do you want to come to Disneyland?
No. But thank you. Thanks for the invite. No, okay. Whatever you want. I don't
exactly.
care. I don't really have that strong a feeling about it.
Quite honestly, I think morons go to watch NASCAR. So hey.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, and God, yeah.
Oh damn it. Trying to insult you, it didn't work.
Well,
yeah, I don't really watch NASCAR.
I meant hockey. Oh.
Well, there are some morons that watch hockey too.
And wrestling. Anyway.
Yeah.
I like wrestling. I'm one of those morons. Anyway.
It's okay. Get in touch with your inner moron. It's cool. I'm fine with that. Hey, speaking of morons, Manti Te'o was on Katie this week.
Oh.
Ooh.
And twice.
I want my money back. Sure, it was free on free TV, but I've had quite enough of Manti Te'o. Because did you guys watch any of that? Did you
I
see any of the clips?
I started this morning with a clip that was 7 minutes long. I got about 2 minutes in, and I was like, ugh. So, because he was just kind of like, what would you do? Put yourself in my shoes. It's like, well, I want to hear what you have to say. I don't want to imagine what you would say. Tell me what you would say.
Right. Well, the thing of the whole interview is Katie Couric was asking every question. She used his name more often than a car salesman would use your name.
Ooh.
If you've ever been car shopping, you know what I'm talking about. Be like, Ted, let's play car shop for a moment.
Yes, okay.
Hi, welcome to the car lot. What's your name, sir?
My name is Ted.
Hey, Ted, how you doing today, Ted?
I'm doing well, thank you.
What sort of car are you looking at today, Ted?
Oh, something economical, sporty, you know, fun.
So, Ted, you're looking for a fun car, are you? You got a girlfriend, Ted?
Yeah, she's a vegan, actually.
Oh, okay. You know what, Ted? We've got these cars over here, Ted, that they've got recycled seats. They're made out of recycled plastic, Ted. And it's really great for the environment, Ted. And they get really good mileage, Ted. And, you know, Ted.
I would have left by this point.
But that's kind of how it went. Pay attention next time you're at a car lot. They will get your name and they will use it over and over again because they heard in some seminar somewhere that the sound of someone's name is the best sound in the world to them.
Oh.
What do you think of that, Ted?
I don't want to hear my name said again for the next 10 minutes, actually.
I love you, Ted.
Oh, well, that's a little sweeter. Oh.
But we do have a little bit of a clip of Manti Te'o's imaginary girlfriend, the voicemail she left for him.
Oh, my goodness.
You ready for this?
Really?
Yeah.
Hi, Manti. Who is that answered the phone in your dorm room, Manti? I don't even want to know. Don't make excuses. I love you. Call me sometime.
She sounds sexy.
I know, right?
For a non-existent person.
This is the craziest thing. Uh-huh. And then Dr. Phil has the big thing with the big interview with the guy who supposedly pulled off the big prank. And I'm done. I'm so done with this whole thing.
Yeah, I think it's time to be done with it.
First of all, who cares?
Yeah.
But the bigger point of the whole thing was, Jesus, he's dumb as a post. I mean, I held out hope. I mean, I know he's a football player at a big school, but he went to Notre Dame, and he's super into religion, and usually people who were... I was just had this hope that he was smarter than this, and he just isn't.
Oh, man.
He's just not very bright.
I wonder what Rudy would have done. Rudy. No? Rudy? No one? Has anyone seen that movie before? Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, I've seen Rudy.
It's... I'm not going to go into it.
Is the movie called Rudy?
It is.
I'm really lost.
Oh, it's
I
about this kid who gets into Notre Dame and wants to be on the football team, and he sits on the bench for the entire season until he gets one play in the very last game of the... Oh, I spoiled the whole movie for anyone who wants to see
spoiler
it.
Spoiler alert.
I mean, he doesn't... I don't know.
He's just an average-sized guy that wants to be on the football team, and they love his heart and soul, and he ends up getting to play in a game.
That's a feel-good story.
Yeah. I don't care. I just held out a lot of hope for Manti to not be that dumb, and he let me down.
Oh.
So I think the whole lesson here is expect people to be dumb as a post, and you will go through life just meeting all your expectations.
Done.
Excellent. You know, we've talked before about, you know, online dating and stuff like that. I'd mentioned that I'd done it. I'm doing eHarmony now, and... met a few people there, some good, some bad.
Some ugly. I don't know.
Well, that's not nice.
Well, I'm just...
That's not kind at all.
Fine.
No, I'm aware of the phrase.
Okay.
But we brought up J-Date because we were curious about it. So I'm like, oh, let me look into the J-Date. Not that I'm going to join it or anything, but they have the top 10 reasons to join J-Date if you go to the website. So I'm like, that is actually really quite interesting. So... some mood music first for the top 10 reasons to join J-Date. Let's go 10 to 1 because I think that's the best way to do it. They only have 9.
No, the one at the very bottom.
Oh,
if
I have
you
to
scroll
keep scrolling
all the way down. It's not the best designed website. I looked at it earlier because I want to see what the hype was.
Number 10, the J-Date team is available. That's right. Useful. They have a phone number for friendly and knowledgeable assistance.
Why isn't anyone calling me?
Why isn't anybody responding to my ad?
My mom says I'm attractive. All right.
Number 9, meet, greet, and kick up your feet.
Woo.
It rhymes. Their secure online server makes dating at J-Date anonymous and safe. So you're free to sit back, relax, and meet people from the comfort of your home or office anytime, day or night.
That's pretty much any online dating site, I think, except for maybe... that fish's site, what's it called? Fishes in the Sea. Never mind.
Plenty of Fish?
That's the one. Skeezy.
Yeah, at some point for a dating site to be successful, you have to actually go out and meet people in person, though.
Yeah,
that does make it better. Yes. Manti. Number 8, this is important. It's not all about looks. It's how you feel and who you are. That's right. J-Date helps you express what you're all about, your passions, your sense of humor, and values. Better than chats over cocktails ever could.
That's right. What better way to get to know someone?
Mm-hmm.
Common
interests are the building blocks for the best relationships. Let the real you shine and like-minded members will take notice.
That's a
big lie. Number 7.
You haven't even used J-Date. Maybe it's fantastic.
Well, they're your people. You'd know better than I. Number 7. More members, more parties, more travel and events.
Woo!
They throw some of the largest and most popular Jewish events and offer travel adventures to many of the world's most desirable vacation spots. Good God.
Some of the most popular Jewish events. That's a pretty high bar.
Don't know what that is.
Like the bar mitzvah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
The
bar mitzvah?
Just that big one, you know.
The big one.
Yitzchak's bar mitzvah. And Yitzchak Mendelman. I don't know.
Sam Schwartz's
bar mitzvah.
It's a tour of all the New York delis. Number 6, save buku bucks. $$bling bling $$. That's exactly what's on there, by the way. J-Date makes meeting new people quick, easy, and inexpensive.
Oy.
1 month subscription costs less than a night on the town and delivers the people you want to meet when you want to meet them. With over 500,000 fabulous members, there's someone for everyone to meet, and that definitely includes you.
There are mensches everywhere.
So that's the first mention of it being cheap. Number 5, expand your social circle. Well, that makes sense. Number 4, tradition of connecting Jewish singles, 21st century style.
So modern.
Established in 1997. When did they get 21st century style? Did they roll over?
I think they upgraded to 21st century.
Number three, J-Date is way better than the bar scene.
Did we hit that already?
Nope. This is another one. This is number three.
It's redundant is all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. It's more interesting and considerably less expensive than the bar scene.
Oy.
For the price of a few drinks, you can subscribe for a month and meet a new person every day if you like. You can get to know people and what they're looking for before you contact them, thanks to detailed profiles with photos, essays, and all kinds of personal tidbits. Like if they're into bondage or something. I don't know.
Or gefilte fish.
Could be.
I don't know.
Number two, take part in one of the world's largest online communities.
Greatest.
Oh, greatest. Sorry.
It's okay. We're not a large community because of things.
Oh.
You know, history.
Oh, okay.
No, so, not to play the Hitler,
Hitler card?
Yeah.
Nice. You know, I saw a picture of... I put this on Facebook. It's been around for a while. Like, different ways to look at historical figures, and one of them was Hitler on a sled.
Oh!
And he looked adorable.
Aw.
Because...
Hitler.
You know, at the time, he wasn't, like, ordering the genocide, so he looked fine.
It's kind of like Hitler in the South Park episodes. He's always kind of... Like, did you see the Christmas one where
yes.
he's crying because he doesn't have a Christmas tree? And you kind of pity him, little cartoon Hitler.
Cartoon Hitler was fine. And the number one reason to join J-Date, it's the number one to jumpstart your love life. No more wasting precious time and no more blind date blahs. Whether you're simply looking to have a good time, seeking a serious relationship, or returning to the dating scene after some time away, J-Date is the place for you. We're here to help you meet wonderful people for wonderful relationships, romance, friendships, and more. And however full your life is now, it'll even be better once you turn into this social scene. J-Date is fun, laid back, and comfortable. And most importantly, economical.
Okay.
So that's why you should join J-Date, apparently. Although no mention of if it's okay if you're a goyim to join. There's no mention of that.
I don't think they check.
I have to say I felt kind of funny looking at this site. I've never looked at J-Date before. And
you just got one off the rack?
Yeah, exactly. And I was looking at it and, you know, there's all these like sexy looking pictures of like attractive brunette Jewish, ostensibly Jewish models and stuff. And I was just thinking like, Ted is like a hot commodity. Like I didn't realize, you know, like how in demand
my type is.
Yeah.
We Jewish
Ted, Ted's like a Jewish model? Is that what you're saying?
I'm a
confused.
Model Jew.
No, I'm just saying, oh, this isn't coming off well.
Well, no. I'm just, carry on. I'm
not
curious
like
what you're trying
Jewish
to say.
Model. I don't know. It's just that, like, here's this site for people, like, you know, who want to meet Jewish men, you know, and it's just, I don't know. I just hadn't thought of
yeah.
Ted as like a type, you know, that one would pay money to meet. No, that didn't come out well. I'm not explaining it well.
I actually meant to send you a bill for our last month together.
No, but it's coming out really funny, so that's even better.
No, I don't know.
Should I be charging you? I'm just kidding. Oh, honey, I appreciate it.
No, I don't think you should, because I don't think she puts that high of a value on.
No.
No, she does. She didn't realize how valuable I was until J-Date told her.
Right.
Well, I don't know. I just never really thought about it, like... As, you know, someone being Jewish as, like,
sure.
this thing that you would, like, actively seek to find, you know, it just...
Well, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ted...
Oh, I will, don't worry.
...that a lot of Jewish families would prefer that you date someone who's Jewish and meet someone who's Jewish to carry on the Jewish culture and tradition and bloodlines.
That
is
true. But also, I don't know, I think some people do go on J-Date because I guess there's a stereotype that some Jews are Jews... I don't know.
Yeah, I suppose if you're a girl and you really are afraid of uncircumcised penises, that would be the place to go.
That's true.
Because then you know, then you're pretty sure you've got 100% chance of not running into one.
Not 100%. I went to school with a kid at Jewish day school, and isn't it weird? I remember this kid's wiener, and he's in second grade. That sounds really bad. But is this because it was such a novelty at the time? Because I didn't actually see it, but I remember being talked about. So
okay.
I was like, oh my God, his penis is different than any other penis.
Hmm.
Do you have to have a bris like later in life if your parents don't do it?
I believe if you convert, there is a pricking of the prick with a pin of some kind, a little bloodletting from the penis. So I'm glad I didn't have to do that, I guess.
Because Abraham did it as an adult, right?
Yeah, I guess
in
so.
In the Old Testament.
Yeah, it's hardcore.
Probably with like a ram's horn or something.
Yeah, I think so.
Or a sharp rock, something like that.
Something.
Whatever. But yeah, that's J-Date. So we've been curious. I've been curious about that. So they didn't really answer any questions, but I do like the fact that they went for the core demo and talked in two different places about how inexpensive it was.
Yeah.
Yay!
But they didn't use the slogan, once you go Jew, nothing else will do.
No, well, I think Ted copyrighted that, didn't he?
Thank you.
We want to do that.
Once you go Jew, yeah. It's hard to rhyme with Semitic.
Once you go Semitic.
You should go for Semitics, because he might be a medic or a lawyer. No. I don't know. It's a work in progress.
On the other side of the coin, if you're looking at it at the ladies, I would point out that Bar Rafaeli is Jewish, Israeli. She used to date Leonardo DiCaprio. Oh. She is one of the hottest women in the world.
Ooh la la.
Natalie Portman is Jewish. Alicia Silverstone is Jewish. There's a lot of very pretty Jewish actresses.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
If only someone would sing a song about the attractive Jewish performers of our time.
If only.
Adam Sandler, huh? You know?
Oh, is he Jewish? No, I'm kidding.
I would look at him as a black mark on the community if I were you.
Really?
Yeah. Just saying. Just saying.
He's not the worst. He's at least, yeah.
He's not the worst.
Like, he's not Ted Nugent.
He's not David Berkowitz, if you want to go with bad Jews. I mean, Ted Nugent, not a Jew. For those who weren't sure about that, Ted Nugent, not Jewish. So let's move on. Disturbance at Phoenix House on the 500 block of North Quincy Street prompted police to come late last Monday night when a resident allegedly became out of control while huffing a chemical. According to police, two roommates in the Boston-based Substance Abuse Treatment Center alerted a resident advisor that their roommate had been acting erratically and the room was in disarray. Hey, advisor, it's messy in here. Mm-hmm. When the resident advisor arrived in the room, the subject was wearing only a T-shirt and had a sheet over his head while allegedly huffing disinfectant spray. I did not know you could huff
disinfectant
that.
Disinfectant spray? Like Lysol?
Yes.
Holy crap.
The resident advisor called police because the subject was reportedly hissing, speaking in tongues, shaking uncontrollably, trying to eat coins, and had attempted to set his mattress on fire.
No sound effect for that one.
Yeah, you can't set a mattress on fire. They made him fireproof now for that reason, thanks to the Farrah Fawcett movie.
In case someone huffs and decides to light their mattress on fire?
Yeah.
Oh.
Or, you know, someone decides to get their abusive husband drunk and light the bed on fire while he's passed out.
Oh.
Police say when they arrived to speak with the 18-year-old man, he was naked and still attempting to eat coins.
Got to get your iron somehow.
They tried taking the man into custody, but he didn't cooperate. Oh, no. They gave him a warning, but he continued to stay on all fours and growl at them. So they successfully tased him and handcuffed him. The man then attempted to eat the taser cords.
That's pretty impressive, being tased and still trying to eat stuff.
Well, he was on some good shit. Wow. Police say once they managed to handcuff the man, the naked subject bent over with his hands still behind his back, and according to the police report, spreads his anus open and proclaims, "Who wants some?"
No. That's just gross.
No, thank you.
No, I've had my fill.
The subject appeared to have some type of seizure or shaking fit and then fell to the floor, where he somehow managed to get his cuffs hands in front of his body. Cops say the man then spat at them and tried to grab them. He's voluntarily committed himself for psychiatric evaluation, and nobody was hurt in the incident. No charges have been filed either. They are more concerned with getting him the proper mental assistance. So, rough night at the group home.
Yeah.
That's sad.
I think the lesson here is to avoid cleaning and cleaning products at all.
Stay away from the cleaning products.
Maybe these are like organic cleaning products, like hemp-based cleaning products I've heard so much about. No? I don't know.
It's cocaine-based.
Get your cleaning done.
You know what cleans really good? Meth. Meth cleans really good. Meth. On to Calgary, up in Canada, or America's Hat, as we like to call it. The city's top cop says it's hard to judge if two officers videotaped appearing to be racing to the donut shop did anything wrong. But it's under investigation. Chief Rick Hansen said he had one look at the video that surfaced on YouTube showing two marked city cop cars and an unmarked vehicle at a red light. When the light turned green, the driver of one of the police cars accelerated to pull into a Tim Hortons.
Which is a donut shop.
Is a donut shop. Right. He said investigators are looking closely at the cop cars and the drivers. He said, I know that we're looking at what he was doing and what his intentions were at the time. He said it's hard to say if the officers did anything wrong until the probe is done. And that's good advice, too. Wait till the probe is done before you throw out any opinions, really.
Yeah.
But come on. This is... Is it This Week in Stereotypes? First the J-Date talking about how cheap everything is and economical, and then the cops are drag racing to the donut shop.
I expect more from Canadians.
I do too, and again, I shouldn't.
The quote says that I don't think it made it to 50 kilometers per hour.
That's about 30.
They seem to be going pretty fast to me in that video.
Well, they were going like half a block. It wasn't that far. It wasn't that fast. It's just the whole point of revving and racing into the Tim Hortons.
Right.
And I will give you this. Tim Hortons is good. It's good donuts.
I was just about to ask that.
Oh, they're fantastic.
They don't have them here.
No, they do have them in the Northeast, in the U.S. There's some in New York City, Western New York, upstate New York now. They're very good. There's nothing wrong with a Tim Hortons donut.
It's worth dashing to that.
It is. It is actually worth it.
Worth a dash. Okay.
So there you go. We mentioned Ted Nugent.
No relation.
No, but he does. He is sort of near Canada. He's from Detroit. He isn't known for moderation, but from the sound of his latest comments, the re-election of President Obama has made him even more extreme. Speaking to fans during an NBC-sponsored gun show. I don't think it's NBC the network, by the way.
I was about to say, who is sponsoring this thing then?
Nugent said that Obama is, quote, attempting to reimplement the tyranny of King George that we escaped from in 1776, adding, if you want another Concord Bridge, I've got some buddies. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Well, let's hear from Ted himself. Ted?
Part of a very great experiment in self-government, where we the people determine our own pursuit of happiness and our own individual freedom and liberty. Not to be confused with the Barack Obama gang who believes in we the sheeple and actually is attempting to re-implement the tyranny of King George that we escaped from in 1776. And if you want another Concord Bridge, I got some buddies.
That sounds like a threat to me. And first... It's the Media Matters sounder. It's okay. First of all, thoughts?
Was that me?
No.
Okay.
No,
sorry.
It was not.
I was just looking if it was NBC, and it was indeed NBC Sports that's sponsoring.
Oh, because they have a lot of outdoor shows, hunting and fishing and
right.
That sort of thing.
So,
yeah, okay.
So they want to be associated
that's fine. So,
with Ted
so,
Nugent.
So what do you think of Ted Nugent? Is he making a false equivalency?
My brain kind of shuts down the thought of Ted Nugent. I don't know. I just... Ted Nugent and I, we disagree on so many things.
Yeah, well, opposites attract, though, Becca. Come on.
The man wrote a book called Kill It and Grill It. I really don't think we're going to see eye to eye on much.
Well, I mean, that is the order you want to do it in, honestly.
That's true. If you put it on the grill before it's dead, you're liable to lose an eye.
Yeah, it's not good for that. Ted, what did you think of your namesake? Actually, you're his namesake.
Thank you.
Is that who your parents named you after?
It's either that or my grandfather.
Wango
Zitango. I should ask them.
They heard Wango Zitango and they just could not name you Ted.
I'm impressed that he could actually go further than making a historical reference to Hitler, because that seems like the go-to comparison whenever mm-hmm. we talk about guns. So I give him 1 point for that. But all this fear-mongering about having people's guns taken away drives me crazy. It's not an apt analogy. And it's just fear-mongering, and it's going to get all the moronic gun nuts riled up and fired up, and I don't like it.
Well, I will say this. First of all, guns aside, anybody who uses the term sheeple should be taken outside and flogged Old Navy style. And I'm not talking about the hip clothing store. I'm talking about, like, with a yardarm and that shit. Just taken out back an old-school flog, because the term sheeple is just dumb.
Insulting to sheep.
Well, it's kind of funny because sheeple is sort of like a right-wing talking point buzzword. So it's cliche to use the word sheeple, which implies followers. You know what I mean?
It's moronic. It's completely moronic, and it irritates the fuck out of me more than anything else does. Because it is. It's that whole thing with like, and this goes back to sort of playground etiquette where someone might go up to Ted and go, hey, you're a wussy. You wussy? You wussy? If you're not a wussy, you'll do this. If you're not a wussy, you'll do this. It's that sort of grade school bully mentality that goes on. That and then go, yeah, he's a wussy. You don't like him because he's a wussy because he won't do that. He's not like us. He won't do that. Mm-hmm. It's stupid. The guy's 60-some-odd years old. Grow up, dude. But he wasn't done yet. He had more to say.
Here is what's wrong with America today. We have a president...
Okay. Any guesses? Here's what's wrong with America today. Anybody who starts out with that phrase, I just buckle in for something crazy. Oh, okay. Now it's going to lock up on me. Here we go.
But here is what's wrong with America today. We have a president, and everybody better write this down and memorize this.
Wait, I need a pen.
The president of the United States.
Write it down and memorize it.
All right.
And then eat the note and then poop it out into a hole in the ground in the backyard and set it on fire. Maybe I shouldn't stop.
Just to the Vietnam Memorial Wall. And pretends to honor 58,000 American heroes who died fighting communism. And then he hires, appoints, and associates with communists. He pretends to pay honor to men who died fighting communism. And then he hangs out with, hires, and appoints communists. He is an evil, dangerous man who hates America and hates freedom. And we need to fix this as soon as possible.
We gotta stop the madness.
That wasn't Ted. That was just my adding to that. Again, thoughts?
That's just some scary shit. He's like riling up the easily confused sheeple. Oh wait, sorry, Nate. people sheep.
Well, it's weird to see him talk about in the first video. You know, he was talking about the need to defend the pursuit of happiness, but he just seems not happy. Like if he. I don't know. He looks like bitter and scared and sad. And I don't know, maybe part of the way to preserve the pursuit of happiness is to go get some.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, you're only as happy as you want to be, really. I mean, can you make yourself happy? Some people would say, yeah, you can. Other people will go, nah, you can't really make yourself happy. But I know for a fact you can make yourself unhappy.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's really easy to do. And a lot of people do that. And you can sort of build things up that aren't there into bigger things. And
what's really his problem deep down? What's going on with Ted Nugent?
I'm guessing chemical imbalance.
Oh, is he huffing Lysol too?
He could be. I don't think he's been cleaning though because he's rich. He doesn't have to do that.
Oh God.
But he had that rock and roll past, right? So
oh yeah,
things could have happened back in the day that, and he's still a little bit off.
He's definitely a little bit off. I mean, and that's being very generous, by the way. Mm-hmm. A little bit off. This guy's plumb nuts, but you know, he loves his guns. And the funny thing is, though, Ted Nugent hunts with a bow and arrow as often as he hunts with a gun. He's a very big bow and arrow guy. So, and you know what? That's fine. There, I mean, I understand that you disagree with it, but hunting in a lot of places is done to manage the population of herds. It enables them to keep a healthier number because if you don't hunt certain types of animals, they will overpopulate and then they won't have enough food and then they'll start starving to death. So there is a sustainability to that and a natural order to that if you don't have natural predators.
And I'm hesitating now to praise Ted Nugent for anything, but
right.
I actually do have, I guess I have more respect for Kill It and Grill It than I do. Like people who can actually know where their food comes from and can go out and can, you know, take its life and, you know, do it from start to finish as opposed to just buying it in the store and professing to worry about animals. I don't know. I keep saying, like, do you know what I mean? Which is, like, great podcast banter.
No. You make a good point. And I would argue that this type of hunting is far better than Dick Cheney's type of hunting where you shoot your friend in the face.
Agreed.
Well, you know, I mean, really, though, like, his thing is, like, they have a bunch of cage birds, and they release the cage birds, and he shoots the cage birds. That's how he hunts.
Yeah.
It's like fucking barbaric, sick shit. I'm sorry.
It's along those lines where it's an enclosed game preserve where you're hunting, but you're not really because the animals can only go so far before they hit the fence line. So it's not really hunting, which it's not very Teddy Roosevelt-like, which, I mean, the teddy bear is named the teddy bear because they chained a bear to a tree and offered Teddy Roosevelt the chance to shoot it, and he wouldn't do it because it wasn't sporting.
Oh, he's a teddy bear.
Yeah, I mean, and then I saw a photograph of Teddy Roosevelt riding a moose. So, I mean, who can argue with that?
That
really
was fantastic. He was riding a moose through, like, a river or something.
Yeah, like a swamp.
Google it, everybody.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Wow, he's
it looked
my
amazing.
Idol.
Yeah. Wow. Teddy Roosevelt, father of our national parks.
Bring that dude back.
Yeah, bring him back.
Yeah, Obama. Obama's never ridden a moose in his life.
No, he has not.
A Kenyan moose. I don't know what I mean by that.
I would love to see a Kenyan moose. Looks like Bullwinkle.
Like a lion?
I don't know.
They just glued antlers on a zebra.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That's how it goes. So the Pentagon has lifted the ban on women in combat.
Yay.
This week.
Yeah.
But not lesbians, right? Never mind. Sorry.
Don't ask, don't tell, Ted.
Okay.
Actually, that's gone away, too. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to sort of, I mean, Becca, you're kind of a feminist of sorts.
Yes. No, not of sorts, for sure.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to overstep my bounds. What do you think about lifting the ban on women in combat?
Well, you know, I'm conflicted only in the sense that I wish that we didn't have combat for anybody.
Right.
But I think that this is important. I actually read an essay about it today in which they were saying that women, you know, that our opponents don't necessarily differentiate between non-combat and combat positions. So
right.
Women are in the line of fire and they do get injured and die in combat, whether they're registered as combat troops or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that having officially served in combat plays a lot into whether you can get promoted and get raises and whatnot. So having women officially designated as combat personnel will be better for them in the long run in terms of being able to move up in the ranks.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ted, you let out a woohoo. I assume you're cool with it.
Yeah. I mean, all these hot women and their camouflage bikinis. That's fantastic. No, I'm kidding. I mean, equal rights, I think, is, I believe in equal rights too. And I'm just not just saying that because my vegan girlfriend is here, but, long overdue. It makes no sense that it was an issue before if they're already doing it. And all this complaint about, oh, men will be distracted and the women will, you know, distract the men is just such, I don't know, it's such a pussy way of blaming women for men's inability to control themselves. So, high time.
Well, it depends on how hot they are, really.
That's so true.
So, the other point is we don't do trench-to-trench hand-to-hand combat like we used to.
Right.
Being on the front line doesn't necessarily mean that you are doing hand-to-hand combat. There are the raids that will happen. There are those things. But I guarantee that if there is a well-trained woman, no matter how beautiful she is, 6 feet over, hiding behind that next thing, ready to go into enemy fire with you, you're not going to have a boner. I don't care how hot she is. It's not going to happen. Because you're going to be too worried about bullets whizzing past your head or booby traps or something like that.
to be
worried about that. But not everybody thinks it's a good idea to let women in combat. For instance, David Frum. Is he one of your people, Ted?
Possibly. It's Frum, I don't know.
You don't want to claim him. He's a conservative columnist. He's
not conservative Jewish, conservative politically.
Yeah.
I just want to get that out there.
Well, we don't know. He could be.
Ah.
Not that that's a bad thing.
Einstein was Jewish. Yes, well, it is, if never mind. Whatever.
Well, it's not a bad thing to be Jewish ever, Ted. Come on. Don't be that way.
Sorry.
Self-hating Jew. Well, here's what David Frum had to say.
Well, first, I think we need to stress this is quite an abstract notion. That the number of women who will seek and qualify for combat specialties is likely to be quite minimal. But of those who do, I think there are three concerns that I would point to as to why this is not a good idea. The first is that we are going to see, as we have already seen with the expansion of the roles of women, steady downward pressure on military qualifications, reductions in strength and endurance requirements in order to get numbers up. The second in the that I would really worry about is...
And his first point does have some validity. There are standards that were dropped, not just in the military, but like for firefighters in terms of the physical testing that has to be passed in order for that to happen. So that's not a completely out there statement that he's making. Hmm. He's saying that it will lower those. Now, does lowering those mean that absolutely it will be a less effective military? No, we don't know the answer to that. But I just wanted to say there are... His points aren't all ridiculous.
Risk of harm to female personnel. The people we are likely to meet on the next battlefield are people who use rape and sexual abuse as actual tools of politics. What is going in Iranian prisons, rape is a frequent practice.
David, if I can just interrupt, men get raped too, you know. Men get raped too. With probably as much frequency in the prisons.
Well, can we return to that? Let
women.
Me just make one more point, and then you can have the talking stick as long as you want.
I think that was a penis joke.
Oh, shove it up. Oh,
the talking stick.
Yeah, I get it.
As long as you want.
As long as you have a penis, you get to talk.
It, In Iran, in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, rape is a conscious tool of subjugation, and it will be. It is something that women will be exposed to. In the name of equal opportunity, they will face unequal risk. And the third point, and one I think we should give real thought to, is the stress on military families. We already lose a lot of officers at the major and colonel level because of the strain to families. For those military spouses who are not in combat, who are not deployed, this is one more reason to worry about the high rate of family breakup that we already see among military personnel.
Does he have any points there, do you think? Anything? Even remotely good points?
I feel like the stress on families thing would exist regardless of what a woman's job is if she's in the military and
yeah,
she's overseas.
Away from the family unit, yeah.
Right. And I think rape is definitely a risk if you're in prison or you're in warfare, but it is a risk for men too, as the woman who got cut off said. And
well, she was interrupting.
That's true. Anyhow, so he kind of has points, but I don't think any of them are legitimate reasons to not pass the rule that the Pentagon passed.
Yeah. Ted, did you see anything in there sort of ring true for you at all?
I mean, I don't. You know, whenever you join the military, you're making a decision to put your life at risk, whether you're a man or a woman. So it's the person's choice. If they want to serve their country in that capacity, they should be allowed to. In terms of lowering the requirements, I mean, I guess, you know, that is a concern, but I don't know how that stuff works. And if, you know, that's, yeah, I don't know. I feel like he's just trying, really reaching for reasons.
Yeah,
for
maybe, maybe so. I mean, you know, it's hard because, you know, I see what he's trying to say. I don't think he's coming from a place of trying to be sexist or anything like that. He's coming from sort of an older type of thinking as opposed to the newer type of thinking, which is women should be anywhere men are. It's fine.
Right.
And, you know, so there are some points. It matters not. It's all been approved and women will be going into frontline combat. So.
Right.
Exactly.
Yay.
So there you go.
I prefer, yeah. There not be combat at all, but that's not an option.
No, John Lennon, that is not an option at all.
Ted Sampson.
The Nate Darling Show. Cool. Or tool.
Whoa. Yeah, it's that time of the show when we weigh in on whether things are awesome or not so much. It's cool or tool. Let's start out with cops who love donuts. Ted.
Cops who love donuts?
Yeah.
Just in general?
Yeah.
Hey, eat them up, guys. Go ahead. It's super cool. Embrace that stereotype. I love donuts, too.
Becca?
Yeah, I agree. What's wrong with donuts? But, you know, throw in a smoothie now and then, something a little healthy. You have kind of a sedentary job sometimes.
There you go. Cops who love donuts, they're cool. Throwbacks, baby. That's the way it rolls. Speaking of donuts, we're going to have Zach from the Donut Dash on the podcast next week. We're going to talk all things donuts and dashing. There you go.
Yum.
This one, I wonder what you guys will say about this one. Ted Nugent, cool or tool? Ted?
Oh my God! What's worse than Tool? Tool, obviously, he's a tool. Anyone who has to instigate angry people with guns and make them angrier and more violent should just stop doing it. That's what I think.
Becca,
Tool. At the risk of being a sheeple and going along with the herd here, I'm going with Tool.
I'm making him a tool just for using the term sheeple. Fuck the rest of it. And finally, in cooler Tool, women in combat. Becca, let's start with you.
Cool. Be safe, ladies.
Ted?
Cool. Men, control yourselves and leave the ladies alone.
You know what? As much as I want to say cool, part of me just goes, you know what? And I get the whole idea of women being able to be promoted and that sort of thing. I don't necessarily want to see women in frontline combat situations. And I think it's just because of the way I look at women. It's not like you can't do it. I just feel really bad because I feel men are far more expendable.
Ooh.
Is it like don't hit a girl? Like it's worse somehow for a woman to get shot?
Yeah, exactly.
It's
that,
feel bad?
It's that exact same feeling. That's how I feel about it.
But a woman's making a choice. I mean, it's sad if an 18-year-old kid's out of college gets shot in the front line. I don't think it's any worse than if a woman who wants to be out there and wants to shoot people gets shot.
No. And again, I don't have anything... I don't have a particularly strong feeling either way on this. There's just that part of me that says you don't hit girls, you know,
right.
It sort of feeds into that. And if only her enemies felt that way.
Oh, that would be nice.
They may not hit them. They just rape them into submission. Anyway, that's cooler Tool. End that on an upbeat. How you like that? How you like me now? What?
More than Ted Nugent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, by far.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
We moved on from Ted Nugent. So Delmon Young, formerly of the Twins and the Devil Rays and the Rays and the Tigers and other things, he could earn up to $600,000 in bonuses from the Phillies this year just for making weight. Now, he has a $750,000 one-year contract with the Philadelphia Phillies, which allows him to earn an additional $2.75 million in bonuses. Now, for Major League Baseball players, that's not a huge sum of money. You got to look at it in terms of what the average is paid. But the deal for the AL Championship Series MVP calls for him to get on a scale on six occasions to be chosen by the team. He will get this, $100,000 each time he makes weight.
That is ridiculous.
Wow.
$100,000 each time.
That is
The first three times he must be 230 pounds or less, and the second three 235 pounds or less. So he can put on 5 lbs during the season. Because he has a history of getting a little chunky during the season, so they built that in. He can earn $1.5 million in performance bonuses, $150,000 for each 250, 300, 350, and 400 plate appearances. And then a few other things that are boring. He lost 30 pounds between 2009 and 2010 when he was with the Twins. And then he went up to 239 before dropping to 207. So he's been up and down with his weight. So this is just really a sort of a built-in incentive to keep him at weight.
Have you heard of this for any other player out there?
You know, they did something similar with, and I don't think they built it into his contract, but they had Camp Panda for Pablo Sandoval because he had that struggle with his weight, and when he got too heavy he couldn't really play that well. So that was kind of the whole thing. Delmon Young's been in the league for a while. He had a $6.75 million salary last year. He was suspended without pay for 7 days by Major League Baseball after an incident outside a New York City hotel room last spring where he won't be on J-Date. Let's just say that. He was charged with third-degree assault after a minor fracas in New York. The alleged details, a supposedly drunk Young shoved a man to the ground after losing it and yelled, and I'm quoting now, "Fucking Jews! Fucking Jews!" at the sight of a yarmulke-wearing panhandler.
That phrase is really funny to me. I actually asked Ted, have you ever seen a yarmulke-wearing panhandler?
I know, it's like, what? You are not good at being a Jew. You're terrible at it. Or really, really good. I'm not really sure. Anyway, so Delmon Young, not a good person, but he is chunky, and he can make a little extra money from making weight. I just thought that was really, really weird.
I know. Weird. I would like $100,000 for being under 230 pounds. Oh. Please make the check to me.
Well, the funny thing is, if that were to happen in almost anything else, if that were to be anything to be related to specifically to women, because there's so much focus on women and their weight,
yeah,
that would be just completely yelled about in the media. You can't do that. That's terrible. I mean, but baseball, it's a performance-based thing, and if he's heavier than a certain amount, he's not going to perform as well. So, I mean, it's really in his best interest to get more money. It's in the team's best interest to pay him to be under a certain weight because he'll play better.
Well, shouldn't he just do it for the sake of the game and not have to worry about getting extra money? Because
You missed the part where I said he's not a good guy. He's also, I believe, not as smart as Manti Te'o.
Oh, I'm just wondering why his team has to bend over to make sure he doesn't get too big.
That's true. There's probably a lot of other players who would like to come up and
I don't know much about him if he's such majors. A badass player that he just is worth an extra.
Well, you have to remember this. He made $6.75 million last year. He signed a $1.5 million contract. So he can only make, even if he gets all of his bonuses, plate appearances, hits, doesn't get suspended, makes weight every time, he's still only going to make half of what he did last year.
Poor guy.
And part of that's because of what he did in New York. So there is a consequence to your actions, people.
Yeah.
Do not hit the yarmulke wearing panhandler.
That's the lesson.
Lesson
in all this.
For everyone.
Yeah, that's and we have a little bit of tape of what went on when that happened.
Okay, the first rule of Jewish Fight Club is if somebody says, ow, you stop.
And he didn't. He just kept on going and yelling. It was terrible.
Fucking Jews.
Yarmulke wearing panhandler. That is that could be the oddest constructed sentence in the history of the world. I don't know. I mean, not that Jewish people can't fall on hard times, but you think, I mean,
you could.
I've fallen on hard times, I'm panhandling, but the yarmulke stays.
That's right.
It's not going away.
Really, your faith is important.
One's faith
is important, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what about a crucifix wearing panhandler? Is that pretty common?
I don't know. I tend to avert my gaze.
Okay.
Speaking of averting your gaze, male German shoulders are growing breasts.
Finally.
Well, breast singular, actually. On the left side of their chest. Yeah. It's kind of weird.
It is weird.
There's a unit in Germany which performs drill displays at official events. Well, they're developing breasts on the left side because of the way they do drill. Sort of like the way Larry does the flag twirling.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, you hit that. Well, apparently, it turns out that repeatedly slapping your chest in the exact same spot with heavy rifles can stimulate glands to produce hormones and cause a condition called one-sided gynecomastia. Yeah, it's been diagnosed in 74% of this battalion members who have gone to Army medics because of their developments.
Nah.
The director of plastic surgery at a military hospital in Berlin said there is a very significant link between the activity of the Guard battalion and the development of the breast on the left side. They need to change the way they drill. The constant slamming of the rifles against the left-hand side of the chest is clearly a significant factor.
So is this how we can replace, like, breast augmentation surgery? Just having women and men, if they want...
Do rifle drills?
Pound their chests regularly and grow some boobs?
You know, I think maybe if Ted Nugent did that, he'd have something to do other than say terrible things.
Oh.
Maybe he could grow a boob.
No.
We should ask Larry if he's noted any of this. I mean, on himself or other people in his, you know, drill career.
Larry, have you noticed any man boobs in your drill career?
Drill.
Because I'm kind of curious about that. What's going on, man? What's going on with the drill career? I don't know. Somebody. I've lost my mind. Uh-huh. It's a crazy time, isn't it?
Crazy times are being had.
Hey, what do you guys know about South Dakota? Anything?
South of North Dakota.
It is.
If I recall,
it is, in fact.
Is that where the Badlands are?
It is. It is. It's where they also keep Mount Rushmore.
and the Corncob Palace, is that there too?
I don't know. I don't know that.
Ah.
You know what else they keep there? Silly city councilmen, including one in Rapid City, South Dakota. He's apologized, though, to a black KOTA reporter for questioning her citizenship and suggesting she be deported, quote, back to Kenya with Obama.
Classy.
In August, COTA reporter Taisha Walker called Rapid City Alderman Bill Clayton and asked him how he would vote on planned increase in property taxes. Now, according to the Rapid City Journal, he responded by asking her how she planned to vote in the presidential election. He said, and I quote, should we deport you back to Kenya with Obama? And then went on to say, are you even American? Are you American?
What an asshole.
She subsequently filed a complaint with the city. He was also investigated by the city council for comments he made about a fellow council member claims he does not watch KOTA and did not know that Walker was black.
What's your name again? To believe.
Her name is Taisha.
Yeah, I think. I mean, that's
you did the Taisha math.
Yeah, I think odds are she's African American by that name, and that's not. I don't think that's racist. That's just. Like, Shmuel is a Jewish name.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so.
So at a city council meeting, he publicly apologized for the comments. He said, I apologize to the COTA reporter. I apologize to everyone on the city council for any discord that I might have caused. I apologize to the city staff who had to spend their valuable time taking care of this. I apologize to the citizens of Rapid City.
How should you apologize to the world for being an idiot?
How about this? How about you just resign?
Yeah.
How about that? If you're that dumb... If you're dumb enough to say that out loud in public.
To a reporter?
Yeah, to a reporter. I mean, the odds are that this reporter is going to be recording you at some point, because that's kind of what happens. But I mean, Jesus. I mean, it's bad enough that you're going to say that to your friends in private. I mean, like, when Mitt Romney got the covert recording about the 47% of people being deadbeats, you know, part of me went, well, you know, he thought he was amongst friends, at least. It wasn't like he was out on the street proclaiming it like an idiot. This guy, no. This guy's an idiot.
He is an idiot.
Agreed.
The whole Kenya Obama thing, kind of dumb.
Incredibly dumb.
So dumb.
Are you an American? Shut up, you jackass. God. I mean, what is wrong? I don't know if it gets cold in the Midwest, but it's like frostbite on the brain. What is going on?
I don't know what it is. I blame Obama, though.
For existing?
Obama's existence caused, I don't know, stupidity.
It's fair.
It is.
It is fair. This could fall into small town news, but it's not going to.
Ooh.
Because it's too wacky for small town news. This could have happened anywhere. The headline from the Bangor Daily News, police renew push to solve Woolwich, I may be pronouncing that name wrong, burglary in which a rare porcelain Oprah doll and coin collection were stolen from an elderly couple.
Aw, that's so sad.
Is there? I didn't know there was such a thing as a porcelain Oprah doll, let alone a rare one.
I didn't either, but I like that they're renewing the push. Like, they pushed to find it, they didn't find it, and they're redoubling their efforts.
Right, it's like, this is like Tommy Lee Jones. I want every man, whatever, the hard target search thing. You know the one.
Yeah, from The Fugitive.
That's the one.
Make the perimeter around the forest, so on. Yeah.
We're not going to stop until Porcelain Oprah is found.
Well, I'm not even going to try with the county. It's a terrible county. I can't pronounce that. It starts with SAG and ends with Hawk. They're releasing additional details of a December burglary in which police say thieves made off with more than $30,000 in jewelry, coins, and a rare porcelain doll. The couple who are in their 80s live in the Mountain Road area in Woolwich, and were away visiting relatives for the holidays when the burglary occurred on December 29th. The burglary is believed to have happened the previous night. Apparently, jewelry valued at $20,000 was taken, including many pieces that had been in the family for generations. See, now that's sad. A coin collection worth about $8,000 was taken, including Indian head pennies, buffalo nickels, mercury dimes, and a unique $1840 bill and Susan B. Anthony silver dollars.
Oh.
I get those in the vending machine. Susan B. Anthony silver dollars aren't that valuable. He said some of the coins were rolled, which should attract suspicion.
Ooh. Coins in a roll?
I know. Well, I guess if you have a roll of Susan B. Anthony's, that would be weird.
I know. Do they even make the little cardboard tubes for those?
Well, they must, because the vending machines now, they've got the Sacagawea dollars that are the same size.
Mm-hmm.
I hate those things.
And so, like, the vending machines where I work, if you put a $5 into the wrong machine, it'll, like, kick back the dollar coins. And you'll get a Susan B. Anthony like one out of every 10. So it's not that rare to get them.
They're like little quarters. They look like quarters, the silver ones. That's why I don't like them.
But they're worth more than quarters.
They're worth four times, and they're gold.
The gold ones I can deal with. It's the Susan B. Anthony's I don't like. But I know the math. I understand $1 worth more than a quarter.
But why do you hate them when they're worth
like if you,
more?
Because if you have a handful of, you know, your pocket has change in it, and you're just like, oh, you have to like study to make sure it's not. It's a lot of work.
I'd understand your complaint if you were blind.
You have no sympathy for my people.
I have to look at this thing.
I have to look
down. I have the same amount of sympathy I have for women who fall into the toilet in the middle of the night.
Ooh.
It's like, oh, I walked into the bathroom and I fell into the toilet. Wow. Really?
Our cat goes in the toilet.
Well, yeah, but
he doesn't fall, though. He joyfully explores.
He might fall.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You know what I mean? Have you, this is an aside, have you ever, as a lady, have you ever fallen into the toilet?
I have once or twice, yeah.
Oh, okay. But not at our house, right?
No, never.
I'm
well
trained.
Thanks, Ted.
Hey, anytime. We just had a moment. Thanks, okay. Everyone, for listening.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's a couple's moment. You don't get those that often.
Yeah.
I put the lid down, so I've gotten that complaint before. I was shocked. I hit the lid. I go, what do you want?
I have never sat on the lid. That has never happened.
Yeah, but it's the same principle. Whether the everything is up or everything is down, when you plunk down on the toilet, it's the same principle. You didn't look.
That's true.
It's just you hit something solid before you were expecting to, as opposed to long after you expected to with a splash.
You're right. I was looking down on those ladies, those lid-sitting ladies, but I am really the same. I'm sorry.
back to the story. A rare porcelain Oprah Winfrey doll, which stands about a foot tall, was also taken. It's the second doll of a limited edition of 200 made by artist Cheryl J. Weeder, and is signed and stamped number two on the back. Who does Ooh. Number two work for? The family speculates the first doll belongs to Winfrey herself. The owner bought the number two doll, which looks like Winfrey as an adult, in 1987 for $275. Okay, first of all, if you work at the Times Record in Maine, you can probably check to see if Oprah does in fact own the first edition of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Entidat. You can look on it. The burglary occurred right after a snowstorm. Oh my God. That's always the worst time. There were a set of footprints leading to the home and one set leaving. So they believe they're looking for one suspect. We also collected evidence. We're confident this will produce a DNA profile of the suspect.
Oh, my goodness.
We believe whoever did this cut themselves inside the property and will have a prominent cut possibly on one hand or face.
I want to see what this porcelain doll looks like.
Obviously, this is a miserable crime against a couple in their 80s.
Was this in Maine?
It was in Maine.
Oh, okay.
Why do you think I'm doing the Maine accent?
I just thought that was your throwaway.
Broke it out?
I thought it was your throwaway accent for anything east of, I don't know, Colorado.
Well, it says that the doll looks like Oprah as an adult in 1987. So
right.
I'm thinking shoulder pads.
Giant hair.
Yeah, yeah.
I would love to see a porcelain shoulder padded Oprah. That would be the
but
best.
But you can't because it's stolen.
And now we have a title for the show, Porcelain Shoulder Padded Oprah. So, yeah, if you have any information on the burglary, call Officer Hamilton at 207-433-8201.
Oh, they don't have two cops working this case. This isn't three beers that were stolen. This is...
Yeah. No, it is not. It's a miserable crime against a couple in the 80s. Because it would have been nicer if they would have been, a couple in their 40s, it would have been okay. But since
they would
older,
have time to earn money and get a new Oprah.
How would you get a new Oprah doll? It's a limited edition.
You're right. You never get number two back. That's true.
Yeah.
Got to fish it out.
Yeah. I bet it's on eBay right now somewhere. It's either on eBay or it's at some yard sale. One of those two places.
Like, what did you steal? What the fuck is this shit? Why did we take this?
What's going on?
It's just a weird thing to take.
Sad news. The voice actor who played Charlie Brown has been arrested for stalking and making threats.
Good grief.
Exactly. Yeah, he was arrested in San Diego. Five felony charges, threats of stalking. Peter Robbins, he was the voice of Charlie Brown, was arrested at the San Ysidro point of entry after a border officer conducting a background check found that he was wanted by San Diego County Sheriff's Department on a felony warrant for crimes against a person, charged with four felony counts of making a threat to cause death or great bodily injury. One felony count of stalking. Robbins, who's 56 now, was booked on Monday morning last week and was being held on $550,000 bail. That's almost as much as Delmon Young's going to make in weigh-ins this year. Although I guess he's not. I would bet he will make no more than $400,000. I would place that bet now. Robbins began voicing the Peanuts character at age 9, and then several big productions, including A Boy Named Charlie Brown, Charlie Brown Christmas, and It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
What? I want to know what he's been doing between then and...
You forgot what he sounded like.
Who are you writing to, Linus? This is the time of year to write to the Great Pumpkin. On Halloween night, the Great Pumpkin rises out of his pumpkin patch and flies through the air with his bag of...
Aw, that really takes me back.
I'm going to fucking kill you, Linus. I'm going to find where you live, and I'm going to cut your throat while you sleep.
Is that the Great Pumpkin or Sally? I don't know.
You imagine that voice, just the voice of great bodily harm. I'm going to fuck you up.
Oh. That's why I need a security blanket.
So I looked into this story because I was like, who is he stalking and why? And he was stalking his girlfriend because he bought her breast enhancement surgery and he didn't like it and he wanted her to get a refund and she refused and broke up with him.
That's a complicated story, isn't it?
It is. It is. I mean, can you get a refund on breast enhancement surgery? Is that...
Well, I think the best you can do is another surgery to make it right. You know, if one boob is significantly higher than the other, I mean, one is naturally higher than the other, but when you're getting the augmentation, I think you expect a leveling of some sorts.
Right. Yeah, it seems only fair.
Because, you know, whatever, but you know, that's a tough one. When you buy breast implants, you've got to know that you're going to get what you're going to get, and it's not a lot of wiggle room with that. Because it's not like you can go back to Macy's and go, we don't like these.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
I don't like these, Charlie Brown. Schroeder doesn't like them. Linus doesn't like them. Nobody likes them. Peppermint Patty's kind of a fan, but that's it. It's a lesbian joke.
Marcy's curious.
Is
yes,
she?
Sir. I think she is.
Oh.
She's the one that calls Peppermint Patty sir,
sir
all the time.
Sir, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well,
yes,
that's
sir.
Because that's because Peppermint Patty is the butch part of that couple.
Exactly.
As we well know.
Yeah, that's pretty well known.
It is. It's better known than Bert and Ernie, which isn't even true. I believe Peppermint Patty and Marcy were just, you know what they were doing.
Yeah.
They went to camp together. They did things. They explored things. They explored their freaky side. It was the 60s. People did things. It's a lot of hemp. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm off on a complete tangent.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm not sure you are, considering the story, like, and what has happened to Charlie Brown since then. This could be...
Yeah. Yeah, you don't know. I would love... See, that's one of those things. I would love to see a reunion of the voice actors that played those kids, but I would have liked to have seen it when they were in, like, their late 20s. You know, so it's a little bit past, and you want to see kind of what they look like, and you have no idea what they're voice actors. They could look like anything. It's
right,
nothing
right.
to do with that. But, yeah, what are you going to do?
So you're saying now when they're in their 50s and one of them's in prison, now is not the time for the reunion?
I don't think a reunion would go well. I'm just saying. I'm going to throw it out there. I think it would have been better when Charles Schulz was alive, too. That's all I'm saying.
I think Frank would be pissed off.
Frank who?
Franklin.
Oh!
The token black guy. Actually, Pigpen too. Like, why do I have stink lines? I don't know. It's horse.
He was the poor kid in town. I mean, that was the funny thing. It was so you had the stereotypical stuff in the Peanuts, and what was it? What was the whole thing with Charlie Brown? Was all the kids in town, especially the girls, were so miserable to him?
They were,
and I think we've stumbled upon it. I think he internalized the putting down that was the Charlie Brown character, and it finally came out when the breast implants didn't turn out just right.
All he wanted was the little redheaded girl with a nice rack, and it didn't turn out.
I think all we all want is the little red-haired girl with a nice rack.
I don't think I want to go on record of wanting a little redheaded girl. I'm worried about that.
What?
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
Yeah.
Small town news. That's all I got.
No, it's okay.
Ted really wants the old jingle to come back.
Oh. Sorry, Ted. Hey, a small town news brought to you by our Amazon page. If you're shopping Amazon anyway, please do us the favor. Go to NateDarlingShow.com. First, click the Shop Amazon tab. It helps the show, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. It's the cool thing to do. And you want to be cool, don't you? You want to be cool? Don't be a sheeple. Come on. You'll be cool if you do. I love that. You'll be cool if you do.
If you're my friend, you would do it.
Yeah, if you're my friend, you'd do it. It'd be cool. We go back to Maine for some small town news. Headline, knives came out after threesome failed to occur. Maine woman, 44, jailed after late night row. This comes to us from January 24th, where a Maine woman who was expecting to engage in, quote, a threesome with neighbors is facing criminal charges for allegedly brandishing several knives after the tryst failed to occur.
Several knives.
Valerie Nile, who's 44, was arrested late that Tuesday evening inside the home of Edward Sabatino, who called 911 to report that Nile was, quote, intoxicated and threatening him with a knife. When Knox County Sheriff's deputies arrived at the 56-year-old Sabatino's residence, see, he did pretty good, 12 years younger, that's not bad. He told them that, quote, they were all drinking and hanging out when Nile went into the kitchen and retrieved three knives. He shares a home with a roommate, Shauna Chickering. She's 30.
Ooh.
He's got a 30-year-old roommate and a 44-year-old neighbor. Anyway.
How old was he again?
He's 56.
Ooh, he's living the life. I don't know what life that is. I don't want it. But go ahead.
And this woman lives, you won't believe this, two trailers over.
Oh.
Not next door, but two trailers over.
Yeah.
After being handcuffed by a deputy, Nile explained that she, Sabatino, and Chickering were, quote, going to have a threesome. That encounter did not materialize, although a trio of knives did. So I guess you could say a threesome of some sort happened.
Yeah, but not the kind she wanted. I wonder... Right, yeah.
A deputy noted that Chickering was observed, quote, sleeping on the couch, claimed she did not observe anything.
We're having a what now?
The 30-year-old roommate was asleep on the couch and didn't see anything.
Yeah.
Her two children were asleep in the bedroom during the incident.
Oh.
It's hard. You need like a diagram to follow this. So charge three with criminal threatening and terrorizing. Ooh. Booked into the Knox County Jail, where she's being held in lieu of $250 cash bail.
I wonder how they come up with that number for assault or threatened assault with three knives.
I don't know. But if you do it in San Diego, it's a little over $500,000. If you do it in Maine, it's $250.
Oh.
I think the guy who played Charlie Brown was just living in the wrong corner of the country. And this comes to us, and this is the best part, from the southern Maine town of Friendship.
Aww, so heartwarming.
That's right. Friendship, Maine. Thanks, everybody.
I cringed when I read that story, the part about the trailer. Because I grew up in a trailer park, and I feel like you read stuff like that, and you're like, you know, we're never going to live above trailer trash if people keep brandishing knives during their questionably consensual threesomes.
Yeah, it's hard to have a threesome when one person is asleep on the couch.
Right?
With her two kids in the other room.
Yeah.
I don't know. Seems irresponsible. I don't want to be judgmental.
It seems irresponsible.
Seems irresponsible to me.
I think you can go ahead and judge on that one.
I don't know. Live and let live, but maybe not there.
It'd be good. All right. That'll do it for this week. Becca, thank you for sitting in.
Thank you for having me.
It was fun. Becca. It was a slice of heaven.
Aww. Vegan slice of heaven.
Yeah, it was a slice of slice of field loaf.
Field loaf.
Field roast. Ooh, I'm having field roast hot dogs at the Super Bowl this weekend.
Yay?
It's the American way. Yes.
Okay. Yay.
There you go. Next week, Zach from the Donut Dash. Coming up in a few weeks, Nick Pettigrew, also local comedian. You can catch me Monday morning at 7:45 on The Walt Gray Show on Eagle 96.9 FM here in Sacramento, if you want to do that. Christiana's back next week, too. We will see you then. Have a good one. Bye, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.